How much time? 30 seconds. I'm on right now. I don't believe you. What?
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
All right, we're on.
Ready, Phil?
We're on in 5, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight, folks. Lots going on this show. Jason not with us tonight. FYI, folks, Jason is off as he's in the wilderness enjoying the last long weekend of the summer in places where phone signals don't exist. So Jason's got the week off, more or less. But it is September. September always brings about a new season in terms of autumn, also brings about a new season in terms of hockey season. We want to get into that as we talk about teams and players and everybody else that has missed out on being at rinks for the last couple of years anyway. Everything happening now. Training camps taking over, players taking over, coaches taking over rinks. Everything is happening in the hockey world. Tonight, for the first time ever on this show, we'll have a full training camp report, which is kind of new for us. We don't usually get this kind of access, but 2 years of having no local hockey to talk about is, you know, enough to change a few people and get a few people to allow us to break into camp and maybe find ourselves an insider. So let's bring on our insider tonight. He might be have the best ideas and certainly the most insight as to what's going on at Bison Women's Hockey Camp. Ladies and gentlemen, want to welcome back our esteemed colleague and certainly a man that we hold in high respect here, Mr. John Rempel, head coach of the Bison Women's Hockey Team. John, how are you?
I'm great, Teebs. Thanks for having me on.
Oh,
those are pretty nice words from you.
Oh, come on now. You know that we hold you in high regard. You're, most times you just glare at us when we talk about you. So
good stuff.
First off, I want to start off with a personal note. Obviously, you know, things are happening. Things are going on right now in hockey. Congratulations again, as your daughter Marin made the Winnipeg Avros for the 21-22 season. Super happy to see her back playing with that team for sure. Had a great, although short, season last year of 8 games. She had 2 goals and 6 assists. So nice to see her back and competing again with the Avros again.
Yeah, she's excited. I mean, it's like you just finished saying, it's been a long time for people. So I think they have their first 2 practices done under their belt. So yeah, she's excited by the new kids and getting back to actually maybe having a full season with some of the ones she didn't have a chance to last year. So yeah, we're proud of her and she's worked hard for it. And I think she's going to have a great year. She's pretty motivated and, you know, so we'll see. It'll be fun watching her. We're very proud of her.
I mean, like I said, I was super happy to see her sort of make the team. And obviously, you know, everybody trying to get back and get things going. So congratulations on that. And to everybody else that made the roster this season. Spoke to you a couple weeks ago, which was kind of fun because, I mean, again, something that we haven't really had for a long time and certainly something we haven't seen for a long time. Bison Women's Hockey Golf Tournament, which was the very first time that we've had it in some time. Huge success from everything that I could tell. Lots of smiles, tons of laughs, lots of good reviews. Golf course was immaculate. Bridges Golf Course did an amazing job with their golf course in terms of making sure it looked like it was basically ready for the LPGA. Honestly, I don't know. How did it turn out? Do you know in terms of, like, is everybody super excited about maybe doing it again next year, maybe having it again next year and moving forward with it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the feedback, you know, anecdotally, I've got some feedback from, we just sent out a thank you to all the sponsors and participants yesterday, actually, and I got a couple of direct emails back. You know, we're asking for suggestions, feedback. We've already we booked the date for next year for August 12th. It's a week earlier, mostly because this group is planning on heading back to Europe. So, and right now we're scheduled to leave August 22nd of 2022. So we needed a little buffer there. So
yeah.
I mean, I really appreciated the comments from the alumni in particular, because that's the group that we're really actually trying to reach more and connect, help connect together, and obviously stay connected to our program. So that was one of the driving forces behind it. I think the other driving force behind doing this was the volunteer committee, the parent committee, largely made up of parents who really felt strongly that we could pull this off given the right, you know, sort of effort, execution, you know, the right amount of people that were pulling in the right direction. And we managed to do that. So I give most of the credit to that volunteer committee because they worked extraordinarily hard to do this. The first year, I think, is always the toughest in some ways, just to, especially in the climate we were in, obviously. So yeah, really big success all around and value in a lot of different areas, which I think you and I spoke about that day, actually. So really pleased how it turned out and pleased for our program and pleased for the people that were there.
You mentioned, obviously, you know, reaching out and getting alumni involved. I want to throw a big shout out to title sponsor, which was Sablewood Drives Plus, a huge, huge effort by them in terms of being the title sponsor. Which is run by former players of yours, Addie Miles Abbott and Kayla Duna, who stepped up and they said they're going to sponsor the tournament. Again, huge, huge effort by them. They, you know, their delivery service handles all sorts of business, personal event delivery needs. They did a great job in terms of being the title sponsor that day. Again, for people who may not have been around when they played, John, what do you remember about their time with the program? Because, I mean, both of them had pretty good impacts on the program.
Yeah, I mean, very different people, different players, brought different things to the table, obviously. You know, Kayla's path is very different than Addie's in many ways. So, I mean, Addie ended up being our captain, you know, supremely talented, highly coveted player coming out of prep school. She was one of the first players to go to the Warner Prep School, actually, because Warner was one of the first prep school in Canada for females. So Addie was one of the first ones in that group. You know, and we were fortunate to get her here. And, you know, Addie did a great job in this program. I think she's, you know, in terms of statistical wise, I she's probably in the top 10 in Canada West scoring. I think she was at one point for sure. I'm not sure where that stands today, but, you know, had a big impact on me as a coach. And just in terms of, you know, her, I think to this day, she's such a staunch advocate of female sport and female growth and development overall. So, you know, big impact in our program and fun to coach. And Addie and I have a good relationship to this day. So I'm happy about that. And obviously Kayla's path was a little different. I didn't really recruit her she played in the Fort Garry system that was double A at that point because there was no triple A U18 at that point. So she played at that level and she ended up going to Division III school in Wisconsin Superior, I believe it was. And wasn't really what she wanted and thought it would be. And, you know, she approached me about coming back and, you know, I had seen some growth in her in terms of, you know, ability to play and skate and whatnot and all those things. But, you know, just the biggest thing for Kayla was just, you know, she's just such a good teammate and just such a positive influence on people around her and very dedicated to her craft, which she has to be, because I think she has about four jobs right now and Sable Drives is one of them. So I give those two kudos because they've turned a, you know, it looked like a need and into a thriving business, but also a good community effort with what they're doing there. So I give them full props and obviously very thankful that they thought enough of this program and their time here to want to give back. You know, that's something that every coach really values. And when people think that the time in the program was worth something and are willing to give back. So win-win, I think, all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, they did an outstanding job at the tournament. I mean, they were all over the place, you know, meeting people and talking to people. Again, if you're interested in Sablewood Drives Plus, link will be on both Hockey Blog Canada and on the UMFM page. We'll get all the information for that. But great to see Addie and Kayla doing so well. Let's get into this then, because, I mean, again, Scout, the training camp report is going to be long. We're going to have a good discussion here, I think. But as you said at the tournament, Bison's going to look a little bit different this year. 24 new faces is what you had given me as a number over the last two seasons. Obviously, there was no season last year, so getting a number of those players in and ready for Canada West hockey is a bit more of a process now because they had to go basically 2 years without hockey. But or a year and a bit anyway without hockey. Let's break this down then, because there's going to be a lot of stuff. How are the girls, especially the new girls, how are the girls adapting to university life? And more specifically, you know, Bison's training camp. I mean, you have expectations and we certainly understand that, you know, fitness and preparation are two of the things that you look for. How's everybody doing in terms of getting in and making things happen at the training camp for you?
it's you know, you got to really take everything with a grain of salt this year, because you don't really know what people had access to, what they were able to do, how much they could do. You know, the fitness part, I'm not really overly concerned about. We've had 4 sessions of 2-a-days, which has been actually really good. We gave them a day off today, as I mentioned to you, just because mentally, you know, that's a big leap from some of them, you know, not doing, you know, well, not doing much, but, you know, working in summer and doing summer classes and whatnot, and not having been through the sort of grind of everyday competition and practice last year. So, you know, we're trying to measure this with enough volume to get us going, but also not stepping on the accelerator that fast that people blow up, right? So I guess that's what I would say. I think they've handled it extraordinarily well. We've changed a lot of things with Coach Chow and I in how even the girls from 2 years ago would have seen things. They got a taste of it last spring for the ones that were here. Some of them got a taste of it in summer, and now they're getting the full taste of it. I think the response has been excellent. I think for the young girls, they don't really know any difference. So for them, it's just what we do already. So that part has been really good. The veterans, you know, obviously they've got some things to think about in terms of their, how they approach things and how we're doing things, which is not easy for them, but they've handled it well so far. And I think there's going to be some really positive benefits moving forward, just the way we structure our practices, structure drills, structure. The biggest thing I can tell you is it's sort of moving from dependence on coaches to interdependence within teammates. And that's the best way I can describe it to you. So, yeah, I mean, we'll do fitness testing this Sunday. We flipped it around on itself this year just because I didn't feel like talking to our coaching staff and our strength and conditioning coach, Cole. I didn't feel like hitting people with physical testing the first day like we normally have done in the past was a good idea. I thought from a confidence perspective, from a, you know, just really – Some kids will try to knock it out of the park on day one, and then it produces negative results. So I thought getting the team back together as one and going through the process first and then coming back to it was a better idea. And we'll see. I think that'll be fine, and it might be something we do in the future. So I've liked what I've seen so far. It's been really good. The energy has been very high.
Have there been any surprises so far, good or bad? Any surprises so far in camp that you've seen so far?
I think it's really hard for me to tell right now, to be honest with you. Watching carefully, but I mean, we have a lot of bodies, as you suggested. So picking through that and recognizing that everyone has come from a different situation, right? So if you look at our 2 internationals who both had to quarantine right. for 14 days, I mean, to make any assessment on them without giving them, you know, 2-3 weeks to sort of get things, you know, shaken out is completely unfair to them. And kudos to them for doing that, because that was not an easy situation for either of them. You know, and some kids who, you know, had jobs where they didn't have access to, you know, Brendan Nicholas fighting fires in Northwestern Ontario all summer, right, in the bush for 12 days at a time. So you got all these different kinds of people from different situations. So I think we need to give it some time. I mean, I'm mostly pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you. I really am. I mean, this is... It's just a different vibe this year. And I did feel that last year too, actually, when the short time we were together, you could feel a different vibe probably than the previous year. The previous year was a tough year for us in transition from, as you know, from losing a multitude of players from those 2 national championship teams, or the 1 national championship team, but, you know, the repeat team that went back.
Right. Yeah.
So that was a tough transition year for us, but in many ways, I think it really was a driving force for me and our staff to look at a different way of doing things and moving forward. We've been fortunate to recruit some crazy good athletes out of this province and other places. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Based on comments that I heard, that John and I heard when we were driving around at the golf tournament from some of the players, it sounded like everyone was kind of chomping at the bit to get back on the ice. Like, and we saw the video that was posted to the Bison Women's Hockey Instagram. You know, players are look like they got some pickup in terms of wanting to, you know, get a little fire under their skates and get things going. Are you seeing that intensity sort of early on in camp as well, that players are really kind of go, 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 like we want to get going here?
Yeah, I mean, it's the physical part for me is not going to take that long. That part always comes back. It's really, to me, the mental part of things and adjusting to the everyday grind, because, you know, even for myself, I recognize how tired a full day makes me, like a week in, and it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything. And well, you'll know, like, it wasn't like I wasn't doing anything.
No, yeah.
during the whole pandemic, I was busy. Like, but I mean, the energy that it takes to get up, go somewhere else, get settled back in, you know, and pull it in a full day and then come back and, you know, you got to help make dinner and you got to take your kids places. Like that whole routine takes a while. For these athletes, it's no different, right? And I think the real tests will come next week when classes start hitting and that kind of stress. Right now, everyone's free of stress, right? Like they're just happy to be back. We're all together every day and that's not going to be the case for very much longer. So when those things start, you know, coming into play, then you get a better overall snapshot of what you're actually dealing with. So, but yeah, I would agree. A lot of smiles, a lot of energy, a lot of banter on the ice, which I actually haven't heard from this group ever. So that's very different for me. That's a great thing for us. It's a good vibe.
You mentioned, you know, doing 2 days and certainly that takes its toll as well. Again, day off in terms of needing it. Is that also for the coaches then? You guys need the day off as well in terms of recovering from, as you said, getting back into the routine? Like, does it help to sort of reset midway through and then get ready for the second half of camp then?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like when you think about this training camp, it's actually like, you know, it's 6-7 weeks long, right? So the season plan that we put together, I'm trying to follow the seasonal plan pretty closely in blocks. So I just felt like you can just tell, right? When you do these things long enough and based on, you know, what we've all come out of, for the coaches, no, I don't, that's not an issue, but just for the players' well-being. And again, you don't want people being overwhelmed on day 5 like that. Then you start to, you work from a negative sort of perspective and you don't want that. So I just felt like I asked the leadership group and they were good either way, but I could tell that they were leaning certainly this way. So it's just decisions you make and you've got to build rest and recovery into something like this because they're not, you know, they're not robots, right? So sometimes we think they are, and we can push them to do whatever, but that's just not the case. So I think a little more cognizant of that the older I get as a coach and recognizing that, you know, we love to play and we love to compete, but we gotta measure what we do here a bit.
I mean, let's talk about compete then, because I mean, exhibition schedule starts in 8 days. I mean, you guys have, you know, 3 games against Team Manitoba scheduled from September 10th to September 12th. So I mean, you know, jumping right into it with three, I don't know about tough games, but certainly games that'll test you a little bit in terms of various positions, various players, everything like that. There are 3 future Bisons on the under-18 team that are going to come in. So lots of stuff to keep an eye on for you as well. Nora Collins, you know, Louise Ferguson and Dana Gertson all playing for Team Manitoba that are going to come in. Are you going to let Neil coach Team Manitoba, or is that going to go to somebody? Do you want Neil on your bench for that game, or is Neil going to be able to stand behind the Team Manitoba bench and sort of pick you apart going, I know what John's going to do here.
Yeah, no, that's Neil and his staff's only opportunity to be with that team before they hopefully get to go to Dawson Creek. So this is it for them. So other than Zoom and whatnot, right? So yeah, no, he needs to be with that team and get to form some relationships and have a better understanding within the context of that environment of what he's actually dealing with. So yeah, no, we'll go toe to toe and we'll have some fun with it. It'll be good. It'll be exciting. I mean, it'll be exciting for everybody because it's a first game for a lot of kids in a long time.
Right. Yeah. There are a number of 0405 players on that team, on that Manitoba squad. Is this a chance to do a little early scouting for you? Are you looking for the next couple of Bisons that might fit into the scouting format there?
Yeah. I mean, I think our 04 class is primarily done. It was never going to be a big class just based on the size of the previous 3 classes back to back to back here. So
yeah,
I'm not saying we're totally done. I don't know that for sure. I have a couple of still thinking on a couple of things, possibilities, but I'm going to let that play out for a while. The 05 class, I mean, none of them really played last year. So
right. We
obviously have some irons in the fire there preliminarily, but that's going to be a much more slowly developing class because, you know, my staff and I need to get out, watch people play more. We need to see how they go through a full season. So I don't expect, you know, any decisions there early like the last few years have been. I don't think we're in that position right now. We don't need to be in that position. So, but yeah, it's certainly a good opportunity to see how some of these younger players react to, you know, playing against big, strong, physical college type players that, you know, can really play. So that usually gives you a pretty good barometer of what some kids might be able to do moving forward. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to watch for sure.
obviously games are a little bit different than training camp, a little bit different than practice. Probably a good weekend then for you to start, you know, looking at line combos and working on special teams, especially for the Bisons, looking at the season coming up. Do you already have a sense? Do you already have an idea of maybe who's going to play with whom and where players are going to slot in on your roster? Or is it determined entirely by how they play in the games?
Oh, man. Like, I would say that, you know, this is a really unique situation for us. I have some very minimal thoughts, to be honest with you. I don't have a lot of actual thoughts. I have not done a line combination chart. I have not done anything, to be honest with you. And I don't know. It's going to be really interesting because you've got just a lot of different kinds of players on this team. Yeah. And you have thoughts about what kind of players you want playing in certain roles. But again, like, I've got to see kids go to school every day. I've got to see them show up at practice. I've got to see them get up because we train in the mornings now. And that's not something we've ever done. So we were supposed to do it last year, but cut short. So I've got to see kids be in the gym by 8:15, turn it around, get to practice, go to school. Some of them are working, and then turn it around, do it again, and then do it again, do it again, and then see where the fatigue and sort of the mental drain comes before I start thinking about those kinds of things, because that's a long ways away for me.
Yeah.
We're going to experiment. We have enough games, I think, that game situations that we can do some things to just experiment and see, you know, what equals what, I guess is what I would say. But I don't know, like, it's again, it's a very unique situation having all these young players that really honestly haven't, like, some have not played at this level, and well, the majority haven't, and some have very little experience at this level. So it's a really unique situation. We'll see how it fleshes out. I really don't know at this point.
I mean, comparatively, and I mean, obviously this is an unfair comparison, but comparatively, just because of the situation that went on, and you've gone through the whole build towards the national championship in terms of your career already, comparatively, at the third year sort of stage where some of these players are for the players who came in as rookies 2 years ago now, are you seeing a lot of similarities between how the team is sort of forming together, sort of on that same sort of path that you followed to the previous national championship? Or is this a completely different team with its own set of variables and its own set of people that are going to really determine where this team goes to?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, to be honest with you. I see some similarities, but this team is constructed very, very differently. I think I have to be careful what I say here.
That's okay. That's fine.
The team is just constructed very differently. There's a different sort of mindset, I guess, from my end about the kind of player that I'm trying to recruit, how I want to attack other teams and how we want to coach and how we want our players to play. I think my mind, I guess the best answer I can give you is this, is that my mind has always been from the defensive side of the puck. I think that's kind of how I played. It's kind of how I learned. It's kind of how I was taught by various coaches that I played for. But I think my mind, largely due to Coach Chow's influence in many ways, is opening up to a different set of parameters about how this team can move forward and be successful, not just in wins and losses, but how we play and how people view us. So I think that has changed the sort of dynamic of what we're trying to get at. So I are we, you know, going to be like a huge offensive juggernaut? I'm not saying that, but I think our principles of play are a little different than they would have been, and how we go about sort of conveying that to our players and helping them to understand a bigger portion of the game and opening their minds to different things that they are capable of doing, and not pigeoning them, holding them into a certain way to play. So I don't know. That's really not an answer, but it's the best answer I can give you right
no,
now.
No. I mean, it's fair though, because I mean, again, like I said, it was kind of an unfair comparison between the two squads in terms of how they were built. But I mean, we sort of saw that team that won the national championship sort of turn that corner. Like I said, you know, in year three, in the last couple of years there. And I just wondering if you sort of saw the same kind of same path or anything, but I mean, like I said, that answer, that's entirely suitable for what we were looking for.
Oh, yeah. I think back to that though. I think had we played last year, I'd be able to give you a better answer, because yeah. I think that would have been a really good growth year and development year, and not having that, you know, it's delayed things, which is not a bad thing, because we were able to do a lot of other learning things that I think we wouldn't have been able to do. So I kind of measuring that a little bit, and maybe yeah. The players don't even know what they all absorbed. And I think they absorbed more than they think they did, to be honest with you. So we'll see.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's a perfect answer then. September 17th and 18th sort of gets you into the swing of things because you get your first taste of Canada West sort of interplay at that point. You guys are going to travel to Russell, Manitoba to play one team anyway, two games. A ton of new faces, a lot of Manitoba-born faces in the Regina Cougars as Sarah's gone out and recruited a number of good players from Western Manitoba. When we had her on the show, she said she was really looking forward to these games simply because it had been so long, you know, between Canada West games for the teams. Do you feel the same way? Like it's just sort of a sense of normalcy after getting these two games in?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we as you know, I mean, you're as familiar as anybody. We don't have the luxury of being able to get to U Sport teams easily. And so it's very, anytime we can play an exhibition series against a U Sport team, it's good for us because, you know, and as you've already alluded to, it's tricky for us to find, especially as we get deeper into camp and we start refining things and we're playing more as we would want to play as we get into the regular season. You know, the first few weekends of exhibition, you're going to roll people and you're going to not coach the way you would probably normally coach and those kinds of things, but because you're just trying to let people play, right? So yeah, those games are important for us. And again, it's always good competition with Sarah and her teams. They're always prepared to play. They play extremely hard, which is how, you know, that's Canada West, as you know, like you've got to compete every single night. So we have we really don't have the luxury this year of having many games against that kind of a, you know, competitive team that's physical and plays, you know, with college level athletes. So, you know, that'll be important for us.
No matter what weekend it is, whether it's exhibition or regular season, playoffs, whatever, always tough games against the Cougars. What do you want to see from your team, though, going into that weekend? I mean, wins and losses in the exhibition don't really matter, but what do you want to see mostly from the players in terms of dealing with the Cougars and how they play?
Well, I just want to see if we can adjust game to game and practice week to practice week. Like, are we actually thinking about what we're doing? Are we taking stock of, okay, so that didn't work today. How can we adjust and do it differently tomorrow? Are things that we're actually working on with progressions in practice, are we progressing in from game to game? Are we taking steps forward? And when we take steps back, are we recognizing what those steps are with coaching staff's help, obviously? Can we adjust? Can we handle it maturely? And those kinds of things so that, you know, there's sort of a constant progression through, you know, the first half, a lot of information the first half coming their way and, you know, how can they process it and take it forward? That's what I'm looking for more than anything else out of this group. I've seen already evidence of it in 4 days. So my guess is this group will probably progress pretty quickly in certain regards. That's my guess. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a high compete level. I'm looking for aggression and purpose in the way that we play and the way we handle ourselves. I'm looking for lots of team play. That's the biggest thing people that are familiar with our team will probably see a difference in. And I don't mean that to say in the past we were individuals, but there's much more of an emphasis on, you know, puck movement that creates interdependence with each other. And that's how we want to play. So those are the things I'm looking for.
Again, not that I'm complaining about a shorter preseason, but preseason closes out with three games, according to the schedule that's been posted on gobisons.ca. September 24th, you guys get Balmoral Hall at Wayne Fleming Arena, which should be an exciting game because, again, you get a chance to see Dana Gertson play in your own rink and see how she responds. September 25th, though, is the Bison game where the Bisons play the alumni, which I think is always an interesting game for the simple fact that it's very experienced college players playing against brand new college players who still kind of have, I'm not going to say bad habits, but have habits from their younger days. Is that game sort of the one you circle and go, let's see how they do. Let's see how they react against, you know, against some really experienced college players who may know the ins and outs of how to make the game a little bit easier for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, we used to play that alumni team in my first few years way back, but then it's the alumni team didn't really have a team, but this group still has a lot of players actually still playing and still able to move pretty good on the ice. Right. We played them last year and the game was actually quite good. We hadn't done much. They hadn't done much, but again, what you just said is 100% true because I think they caught our group off guard a little bit, especially the young ones, just with their tenacity, experience, like you say, you know, things like how to manage pucks, how to not put yourself in bad positions, all the things that you know, we were trying to help them learn in their time here, and they did learn, right? So it's exactly what you said. So I'm looking forward to that game. I think that roster is going to be pretty darn good. I think that'll be a really good test for this group. And we'll see how they handle it. But you're pretty much bang on the mark there.
Following that, 26th, you'll welcome St. Mary's Academy into the building, and certainly they always come prepared. Larry Bumstead always has a good group that plays out of St. Mary's Academy there. Is that, especially with the number of players that have come from St. Mary's Academy that are playing for you this season, is that sort of a game where you're looking at it going like, we're going to be ready for that team. We're going to be ready to play because again, last preseason game, as well as, you know, after the game against the alumni, there's a lot to learn there, a lot to absorb, but a chance to really put everything together at that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think you're right. I would qualify your statement by just saying that, you know, the Minot games have been canceled, obviously, due to the border thing. We are trying to fit two more games in October 1st and 2nd. It's just at this point, it's going to be tricky, but we're looking at two different options, so I don't know what those look like. Anyway, if that ends up being our last weekend of exhibition, yeah, I think we want to play the right way. I mean, I just think it by that point, certain habits I'd like to see game prep as if we're playing a regular season home opener against UFC on the 15th, like the routines of showing up and doing the same things and being ready and however you prepare yourself as an individual and how we, quite frankly, try to prepare our team. So I think that those things are really important for players and they need to rehearse those things. So those games are important for us. It's important for, again, what you already suggested in terms of recruiting. It can change a kid's mind in grade 10 or 11 when they're like, holy smokes, this team and this program or this hockey is like way better than I maybe thought it was, or wow, that might be somewhere I'd like to go. So yeah, there's a number of different factors in those things for sure.
I'm glad you brought up Minot. You were going to say you guys were scheduled to go down and play Minot State down in Minot on October 1st and 2nd, obviously canceled because of the border restrictions, but I will say that we have commitments now from both myself and Kylie. We will broadcast all three of those games, the 24th, 25th, and 26th. So we will be in the building to make your life a little more difficult and give the girls a sense of what it's like on game day as well. So we'll have a little fun with that. We'll make sure we get that promoted a little bit more and have some fun with that for sure. I got to ask, because one of the positions we always sort of focus on and one of the positions we sort of keep an eye on, it seems, based upon experience, that Erin Fargie would be the expected starter this season based on the fact that she's got Canada West experience, whereas every other goaltender you have in camp may not. You brought in two very talented rookies, and Megan Ralph and Kimmy Davidson, who will definitely compete for that crease time as well. I don't know. I don't know if Caitlin Nault is still going to be around, if she's still going to be in the mix as well. I mean, that's certainly a question that you need to answer as well. But Let's discuss it. How's the battle in the crease going right now for who may start, who may back up, who may rotate? What's the decisions or what's the idea right now for goaltending going forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have a very young group, very inexperienced in many ways. You know, Fargs has been in the program for, you know, seems like forever, but with everything that's happened, she really doesn't have a lot of experience. Now, the 2 years ago when her and Amanda were able to split those games, I mean, she had a great year and she's very capable of being that person. Again, I think it's like every other position right now. I don't really actually know what to say because I haven't seen them enough in practice, to be honest with you. Haven't been focusing on the goalies very much. I'm going to be completely 100% honest about that. We're just trying to get a sense of how we want to practice. And I think, you know, the goalies are doing, from what I can tell, a pretty good job. You know, I do pay attention to them. It's just right now, it's not my primary focus. I think that piece will settle itself out. Shortened season brings other things into play. You know, it's largely a year where you have to readjust your mind frame as a coach because you have to make a decision about what the most important things are for you in terms of playing a 20 game regular season. That's a sprint, right? In terms of the less games and how you go about approaching it. And then of course, you know, the team like ours that has as many young players as it does, you want players to grow and develop. And if you have any sense of them being part of your future, you know, really not playing a kid this year very much and expecting them to grow and develop after not being able to play last year I think that's, you know, probably a little unfair, to be honest with you. So we'll see how it plays out. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know what's going to happen there.
Are you going to carry four this year with Caitlin? Is she still in the mix?
Well, she's not part of the program anymore. So we have Emily Shipham, who is redshirting from St. Mary. So Emily was part of this recruiting process for the last two or three years. So really nice fit. And I think that solidifies that position for the next 4 or 5, 6 years with those goalies we have there. There's a lot of room for growth there. And some, like you said, some really talented kids there who I think have a really big opportunity here. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, I won't lie. I know that Megan and Kimmy probably are going to be unhappy if they have to sit just because, again, they want to play and they want to be in the crease. I know firsthand, though, that when I did up those sort of mock rosters last season, and again, coin flip between Kimmy and Megan because neither of us had seen them play, and neither you or I, but I coin flipped and just picked Kimmy by random, and I got a message from Megan that basically said that she should be not sitting and should be in the game. So I know firsthand that the competitiveness is there, which is fun, and it makes me excited for it. Again, are you seeing that kind of fire, though, from your goaltenders now that they, I mean, for goaltenders especially, because, I mean, reaction time and get, you know, you hear about the timing, the game timing and all that. Is it nice to sort of see that the goaltenders are more than anxious to basically get back on and compete for a spot?
100%. I mean, it's like any other position. It's just trickier to handle at this college level because of the lack of games. I mean, that, you know, you as a coach, you measure you're taking a bit of a risk in certain ways carrying four goalies. But again, it really becomes up to them to prove that they are going to be the person and one of the people that you can count on moving forward. So it's there's no right way to handle goaltenders at this level because you just can't, it's not a revolving door where you can just play different goalies all the time. Like, it's different with junior. It's different with some other leagues where you can get your goalies into lots of games. Here it's different. And people have to do the right prep. They have to show you that and gain the team's trust too, in terms of, okay, like in a short season with not a lot of games, you know, if you're a competitive person and a competitive team and a competitive program, you still want to give your team the best chance and put its best foot forward. So whatever that looks like is probably what we'll end up doing. So I don't really know what that, but I guess they're all very competitive people. They want to play. They want to help each other get better. It sure seems that way to me. I sense that there's actually a fair amount of camaraderie within that group already, which has really been nice to see. They're sharing information. They're trying to help each other make decisions. And that's something that we're going to have with that group, because if they isolate themselves and it doesn't become a shared responsibility and a shared project, I think it goes south in a hurry. So hopefully, and I believe that they're the kind of people that will do that as well.
We saw it a couple of years ago, obviously up in the broadcast booth. I mean, some of the players sitting up there, down the row from us. How do you sort of temper that competitive spirit? Because there's a lot of players that, again, that they've been the top player on their team. They've been the top, you know, one of the top players in their league. And now they're being told this. How do you temper that kind of competitive spirit on a game day when you've made a decision that player X isn't going to play, for example, because they're not used to hearing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the challenges. I mean, especially with this year, I think a lot of my colleagues with discussions I've had with a few of them are in the same boat, larger expanded rosters. I kind of boil it down to this. You expect a certain amount of attrition over time that happens at this level. You expect injuries. Certainly, we have three of them right now. So you expect that people that are going to elevate your program are going to try to compete and aren't going to take it lightly, and you don't want them to be happy about it. You want them to learn from it. You want to explain the reasons why and help them get better so that they, and help them believe that and know that they have an opportunity if they're doing the right things, that they will have that opportunity to prove themselves, right? So I've made the mistake as a coach, and whatever you want to call it. I mean, I've over the years of you know, isolating players and not playing them when I think they probably should have played, and not giving them the opportunity they probably deserve. So, you know, it's a constant learning environment at this level, the college level, because as you suggest, those are tough decisions. But I think being transparent, being honest, and giving players, you know, regular feedback about where they stand and not having them second guess, I guess that's the biggest thing I can say. So that's, you know, something we all struggle with, and as coaches at this level, I think, and ultimately, I guess it depends on what your philosophy is, how it changes, and what your principles are. And I guess those are things that kind of change over time, and depending on maybe the team you have in that given circumstance and those kinds of things. So yeah, it's not easy, but you know what? It's college life and it's college sport. And that's part of what you accept for coming into this environment. That's the one thing I say to players. I didn't force you to come here. You knew what the situation would be. This year's a little different with COVID in some regards, but it was always kind of going to be this way. And I was never pretended it would be any different. So it's not like people walked in with their eyes closed. So I expect some sort of, you know, challenge for people to step up and accept the challenge and want to prove that they can do it.
As discussed in your previous appearance on this program, your coaching staff has undergone a little bit of change, which is, I mean, it's always fun. I mean, you know, it's sad to see people go, but obviously nice to see, you know, maybe some new faces, some new ideas. We already mentioned him a little bit. Neil Chow joining your team. He's the head coach of Team Manitoba on the under-18 side. What has Neil brought to the program with his experience and knowledge that maybe you went, you know what, I should have maybe brought this guy on before?
Well, we don't have a long enough time on your program to discuss all the things you bring as a coach. That I'm being 100% honest with you. I mean, this is a person that, oh man, I don't even know where to start. The knowledge, the process-oriented approach, the years of experience, just a high level of thinking, efficiency, execution. I mean, never quite been around someone like him before. I feel very fortunate to be able to actually sit and talk with this person on a daily basis, because it's opened my mind to a lot of different things. And as you say, your staff evolves over time and those kinds of things. You know, Neil and I had these conversations going back 10 years about whether there would ever be an opportunity that we might be able to coach together and if it ever worked out. And fortunately now it has. And I have a lot of respect for him and the things that he brings, and, you know, challenges me every single day and doesn't let me get away with stuff, which I quite appreciate. And really the same with our players. And you know, it's, yeah. So, I mean, again, I could talk to you for a really long time, but I feel fortunate to have him on board. I've been blessed with some really excellent people over the years and all bring different qualities to the table. And, you know, Neil's just got a really different approach to coaching and teaching that was very beneficial and is very player centered. So I feel like that's already, I can see it rubbing off on people, especially people that were here in spring and summer. They get it and they get where we're going and where he kind of comes from. So I actually, to be honest with you, I view him as an associate coach. I don't view him as an assistant coach. That's that's how I see him for sure.
We originally penciled in Elena Sirhan as being on the bench with you. Obviously, a massive change, a great change for her in her professional life has forced her to pursue other options, which is entirely fair and certainly good for her in terms of where she's landed. In her place, though, steps Jordy Zacharias, who Bison fans are quite aware of in terms of what Jordy brings to the table. In terms of getting in and seeing players, you had Venla behind the bench, you had Elena for a short time, you have Jordy now. Does having former players step behind the bench and sort of, you know, help you out a little bit, does that help you in terms of the perspective from a player's perspective? Because they can come to you now and say, like, listen, John, like, this, as a player, this didn't work. Like, we know it didn't work. Like, does that help you?
It does. The player has to be in the right mind frame to step from playing to coaching that quickly. I've always been very sort of hesitant to do it immediately. I think there needs to be some separation there. So Venla is a little bit of a different story just because of her age and experience. Alan had a couple of years away from the program. So that I think that would have been great. She's turned out to be already a pretty capable coach at different levels and is really interested in giving back and getting better. So, you know, she's going to be a good coach if she decides to continue to do that in her new sort of path that she's chosen. Yeah, I think for Jordy, Jordy's one of the few hockey nerds that I've had on this team. She watches hockey all the time. She's very intuitive about the game, which I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing that kind of, I think sometimes things just happen for reasons that you don't quite know and they just fall into place. And this was one of those situations because she's already obviously, you know, pretty heavily involved in the skill development piece with her job. Plus she's pursuing a master's in sort of mental health and school counseling. So kind of the stars lined up here on this one, because she's got time to spend with us in the next 2 or 3 years where I know she's going to be here. So I think that's going to be really, really beneficial for her and beneficial for us, because we'll actually be able to help her and she'll be able to help us, and we'll be able to really kind of grow some chemistry on the staff. And we haven't had that luxury in a long time. So yeah, I'm looking forward to working with her.
The other guy who occasionally frequents the bench, Matt Ralph, he's your equipment guru. He knows basically everything there is to know about equipment. Seemed like he was involved in every single team that was based in Manitoba this summer. At some point, yeah, he was employed by like a dozen different teams, it seemed like. But Matt, good on Matty. Matty's got a lot of opportunities out of that, and certainly, you know, not going to hold him back in terms of the opportunities he's pursuing. But it's forced you to take on a second equipment manager now who can help out when Matty's busy. Who is this new face that we're going to have to sort of get used to seeing on the bench?
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, Matt's, I think, decided in his mind for the most part that this is an avenue he would like to pursue as a career, and if it works out for him. So yeah, Adam Scrutton is going to join Matt and pinch hit, and kind of, they're going to tag team this thing. So Adam's got a lot of experience in this world as well, and smart guy, pretty intuitive. He's got, works with the True North Youth Foundation, has worked in, worked for the Canucks for a while and doing different things. So he's got lots of experience. So yeah, I'm pretty happy and fortunate to have two people who are as invested in our players as they are and want to be around that environment and, you know, can contribute. So happy about that, and happy that it worked out that way. So anytime we can get good people in our program like that, I'm going to take a long, hard look at it for sure. So
we got about 10 minutes left here. So going to sort of a couple sort of easier questions, although one's a little more difficult, but a couple easy questions. You don't have to reveal names. You don't have to reveal any information. You can save that for the unveiling, but our captain's already determined by you. Do you know who is going to wear the letters this year?
No, I do not. That's typically a player decision. I haven't selected captains and assistants on this team in probably 12 years. It's usually put to a vote. And if I agree, then I don't change anything. If I disagree, then I go back and have a further look at it. But players usually know better than the coaches most of the time at this level. So I usually go with that. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know how that's going to go. I think we're going to leave that one for a good month, probably another 5 weeks before that decision comes down, because I want these players to take a good, hard, long look at each other and actually get a sense of who each other is before they just make a decision based on, you know, what they think they should do. I'd rather have them make somewhat of an informed decision on what they feel is the right thing to do. So again, that's where that's at.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Obviously some teams in Canada West have some players coming back. Were there any discussions about any of the players that had left the program prematurely in terms of, you know, not finishing their 5 years? Did you have any discussions then? Did anyone come to you and say, I'm interested in playing for my final year, John? And if so, I mean, was there a decision, you know, sort of made that it's better to follow your career at this point or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think M was in a tough spot with architecture. Right. She wanted to play and come back, you know, what would actually have been her fourth year of eligibility, but her fifth year in the program. And I think that was a very difficult decision for her. Obviously, I would have loved to have M back, but the faculty she's in was it's hugely demanding, and they don't make accommodations for athletes very often just because of the rigidity of their schedule and the, you know, the all-encompassing nature of studio work and whatnot and all this stuff. So I think M is at peace with the decision, you know, and she's going to do great in her chosen path there. The only other player that really came up with was Buck. You know, Buck entertained the idea, but I think the longer that this whole freaking COVID thing played out, I think for her, it just became clear that the path was not to return. And so we did have some preliminary discussions, and I think Doozy and Bear were both set on, you know, grad school and moving forward. So we never really had that discussion with them. And Buck ended up, you know, taking a master's position here in agriculture as well. So it's worked out for her as well. So yeah, I mean, those would have been tricky decisions based on, you know, the amount of players I projected out to have here and how that was all shaking out. So yeah, there were some, you know, but they were honest, good conversations, and, you know, they all are happy with their decisions and are going to, you know, go on and do great things. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm not holding any of them back from any of their opportunities there, but I mean, just had to see him go. That's all. Obviously huge to the program there. Biggest news out of Canada West. Here's a tough question for you. Biggest news out of Canada West this summer was the departure of Danielle Goyette from the Calgary Dinos and the hiring of Carla McLeod. Clearly you guys are the first on the list when it comes to Carla's first games in Canada West. You guys opened the season here at Wayne Fleming Arena on October 15th against the Calgary Dinos. What was your reaction to hearing Danielle leaving and B, Carla being hired out in Calgary in terms of getting ready for that first weekend?
Honestly, not really much of a reaction. other than, you know, Canada West is, and I think U Sports in general, there's not a huge turnover in coaches. You know, it's one of those fortunate gigs where you get to be around the game. You get to do what you love. You get to be around young people. You get to be in an environment that's conducive to learning, I think, and fostering growth and development. And so a lot of coaches never leave, right? And you get, you're in a fortunate position because you just, again, you get to do it as a career, and there's not that many jobs like that. So, I mean, I think I don't really know. I know Danielle a little bit, but I don't know her that well. So, I mean, I think she just saw an opportunity that, you know, she couldn't turn down. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I never asked her or talked to her about it, but I just, from bird's eye view, that's what I would say. Carla, I know Carla. That's a good hire for the UFC. Carla is a great person. I think she's already proven she's a very accomplished coach. I think she's going to be able to do some really good things recruiting wise based on her connections at the prep level and other stuff in Alberta. She has a great pedigree as a player as well. So great hire. I like Carla a lot. I have a lot of respect for her. So she's a good add to Canada West, and along with Lindsay and Grant McEwen and Jean there in TWU, there's some pretty accomplished coaches at our level. And it's really good to see it makes everyone better. I truly do believe that. And it makes you prepare every weekend like you need to prepare. Like there's no weakness in this conference. And that comes from the top. So it's good on them for making those decisions.
I believe I already know the answer to this, but is the goal to send Carla home with two losses on that first weekend?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I know nothing. I mean, this is maybe poor to say, but I spend a lot less time worrying about other teams now. I spend much more time thinking and preparing our team. So I haven't looked at another team's roster. You know way more than I do. I'm sure you do. I don't worry about who players, you know, who they recruit and all the rest of it, because it's just something that doesn't really matter at the end of the day. So that's my long answer to your short question. I mean, yeah, obviously we want to come out of the gate with some positives, and, you know, we have a tough start to the season there with some tough places to visit back to back after that. So it'd be good to get some positive mo and have the girls feeling good about themselves for sure.
I was going to say, I'm just thinking that, you know, make it another full year before Carla can record a victory, try and record a victory against you guys. But I mean, either way. Last question, I'm going to put you on the spot a bit here, and this is one that you can laugh at and tell me that I'm crazy for asking it, but October 15th, obviously the date circled on everybody's calendar. It's going to be opening night in terms of getting things going. You guys play the Dinos. Dinos are here in town. Everybody looking forward to that date, obviously. So we're going to put you on the spot, John. As much as that first weekend is sort of the focus, are we aiming? Is there a chance? Are we going to see you in PEI this year?
Oh, like what's in PEI?
That's nationals. Yeah.
Oh. I mean, there's always a chance of anything happening. I mean, that's right. You know, like I don't really know how to answer that.
I mean, that's the goal for every team. I'm not, you know, I'm certainly aware of that, but I mean, you know, are you excited? Is there a chance that maybe this team has the moxie to be able to do it?
Here's what I'll tell you. I think this team will surprise people, just because, you know, when you look at, to me, players at this level now, the eligibility age is one thing, but these players are supremely talented. They're better players coming out of the younger levels at all time, and players that want to learn and grow are good athletes, already have a fair amount of experience under their belt at, you know, provincial levels and whatnot. So this team has the ability to do some things for sure, given the right preparation and mindset. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one to say. I don't know. I think we really, I know it sounds cliche and I'm not answering your question, but I really look forward to seeing this group learn from each weekend and how they progress. As I said before, that's going to be a telling thing for me. And in a short season in a sprint like this, I think anything can happen, to be honest with you.
I mean, I'll be honest and say that Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither is a hockey program. So, I mean, we'll see how everything goes this season. But John Rempel, we can't thank you enough for this training camp update, and we'll follow up with you, especially after those first games against Team Manitoba. We'll find out how everything went for you and what's maybe changed, what maybe stayed the same, and what's to come for the next couple of weekends after that. So I want to thank you for doing this today. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is great. I enjoyed doing this. This is nice to chat with you, and I do want to give a shout out to Gavin or Mikhail, our goalie coach, because we didn't talk about him on
the staff. Oh, Gavin, yeah. I totally forgot about Gavin. Yeah.
He's an important piece for our goaltenders. And for me, Gavin's really growing into a really accomplished coach and has a lot to offer our group. So I just didn't want him to get missed.
Especially with the four, you know, the four goalies you got as well. I mean, yeah, we should have mentioned Gavin a long time ago. So yeah, Gavin, if you're listening, you're still welcome on the show too. With that though, folks, we're going to let John get out of here. John, if anything you want to say before we get going though, if you want to promote anything, feel free.
Yeah, no, I want to, for people that are listening, I want to thank people that came out to the golf tournament again. I mean, just, it was a really great day. It was good for our program. I just really loved seeing all the people out and enjoying the day, and you know, it was great. And I hope that people will come back to watch us play live. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see an entertaining team to watch. That's one thing I will say. So I hope that people take the time to come out and give us a look-see.
I do want to mention that Canada West TV discount ends tomorrow. If you're going to get on that, make sure you get on that, folks. Go over to the Canada West TV site and get that so you can watch the Bisons all season long, including being on the road, which will be fun. And there will be announcements coming up, from what I've been told, will be announcements about fans coming back to Wayne Fleming Arena as well. So stay tuned with social media, gobisons.ca, all that, as we get going. With that, folks, we're out of here for another week, though. Stay tuned for your Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM. It's been the Hockey Show. John Rempel, pleasure to have you again. We'll see you in a couple of weeks when we discuss the team again.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Teams. It's time to let the curtain rise. We're going to shake the room. We're going to hold it tonight. Yeah, yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the knockdown, drag out, stand up, get loud. This is how we get down. Yeah, yeah. Are you ready?
I remember I was in Toronto and I was going to Winnipeg and it was my first show there and everyone in Toronto was like, ha ha, bring a coat! Winnipeg! Hope you like cold weather!
Transmitting live from frigid Winnipeg, this is 101.5 UMFM.
I'm not sleeping outside. Then I got to Winnipeg and I was like, oh, they're right. They're right. They nailed it.